Be thankful for what you have, and you'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you'll never, ever have enough. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's audio, we learn about the awesome power of gratitude. Enjoy.
But I'm here today to offer you one of the world's simplest medicines, one that sat before my eyes the entire time. It's available to anyone and as powerful as any treatment or pill. It consists of two words your parents taught you to say as a child. Thank you. Those two words, thank you, are the simplest doorway to gratitude. But now, if you're groaning or wincing because I've said gratitude and thank you, you're not alone. I used to be so irritated by the words thank you. They felt overused and empty to me. I was made to say them repeatedly as a child. Thank you so much. No, thank you for those amazing socks. And then I felt obligated to say them along the rules of polite society. I mean, there's a whole industry of cards that say thank you, so we don't have to mouth the words ourselves, right? But these words have more power than we realize. They teach us how to actively practice gratitude. And not just when things go right, especially when things go wrong. Even gravely wrong. Now, studies show that people who practice gratitude are happier, they exercise more, they sleep better, have stronger immune systems. But the neuroscience has only recently evolved to give us an understanding of how and why. Neuroscientists from UCLA and the University of Montreal have shown how gratitude can work like antidepressants by increasing the levels of dopamine and serotonin, the neurochemicals in our brain that make us happier and want to connect with others. Gratitude can work like a pill. And it seems the more we make these chemicals, the more our brain is signaled to find things to feel good about. So the more we practice gratitude, the easier it is to find things to be grateful for again. I think of it as exercising our gratitude muscle. My favorite study was published just this year out of USC's Brain and Creativity Institute. They used functional MRI imaging to show how gratitude works in the brain. They showed that when we feel gratitude, we stimulate parts of our prefrontal cortex that modulate stress and pain. And they're the same parts of the brain that light up on MRI as our pain decreases when we're with someone we love. Gratitude can send a signal of safety to the brain during a painful experience. And then we can see our stress or our pain differently. And when we change our brain, we change our experience. I see this research play out all the time in clinical practice. A patient of mine who had been suicidal many times in the past year explained how using gratitude made her feel safe during such a horrible and lonely time. She would ask herself, can I say thank you to just this moment? Not my whole life, but just this moment? Yes, she said, she could. And that's how she would get to the next moment and then usher in a new day. Gratitude fundamentally changes our relationship to pain. It removes our resistance to it. You know that resistance, right? When you're sad and you stuff it deep down so no one will see you cry. Or when you're jealous and you try to distract yourself. It's natural to resist pain. Think about it. When we touch a hot stove, we want that evolutionary instinct to move our hand away. But we live in a society that tries to run away from anything uncomfortable. We escape into work or television. We self-medicate with alcohol, drugs, food. And our resistance is directly related to our suffering. For any left brain people out there, there's even an equation to describe the relationship. S equals P times R. Suffering equals pain times resistance. The P is the pain we all have, and often we can't change it. But the more we wish it would go away, the more we fight it, the higher that R for resistance goes, and the more our suffering is multiplied. Now, this works both for emotional as well as physical pain. One of my most skeptical patients with chronic back pain told me how saying thank you to her back pain allowed her to stop tensing her abdominal muscles against the pain, allowing her to sit in a more neutral curve, offering pain relief. It's better than ibuprofen, she told me. Saying thank you for her was better than a pill. So when we say thank you to this moment, we're saying yes to this experience without all the extra layers of suffering, all the extra layers of why me, not again, when will this end? And what happens when we only see the pain? We take care of it. You stub your toe, you immediately hold it, comfort it. Your friend is in pain, you hug them, nurture them. When we admit that we are sad or in pain, we aren't stuffing it deep down into a crevice of our heart or mind. It's out in the open to manage. So how do you put this into practice? To start, I ask my patients to do a simple practice from research studies of finding one thing to be grateful for each day for a month, and it can never be the same thing. So with gratitude practice, we remind ourselves of the good that lies next to the difficult. And every time we do this, we're exercising our gratitude muscle for the next day.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.